Let's move on. Perform a Saman Yargo. Remember, we're going to draw the Saman Yargo Jantra. We start with a bindu where we're one with God. And we come off with an equilateral triangle, the trikona. That means all the threes are in balance. The perfect harmony of Kamakala, it's called. All the threes. All of them. Sattva, Raja, Tama, Ma, Kali, Ma, Lakshmi, Ma, Sarasvati, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwar. All the threes are in perfect balance. From that perfect balance comes a circle, which is Srishti. It's all the creation, manifested existence. And the square represents Chaturbharga, the four objectives of manifesting in existence, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So dharma is the ideal of perfection. We've all come here to manifest and demonstrate the highest ideal of perfection. Artha, it means resources, the economics of life. We gotta get what is the optimum amount of resources that we need in order to manifest that ideal. Kama, to be free from all other desires. And when those three are in harmony, that's called moksha, self-realization or liberation. So we take on that yantra, some grains of rice, and we say, Om Adarshataye Namah, Om Kurmaya Namah, Om Anantaya Namah, Om Prithivyaye Namah. And then we take our water pot and put it on top of the rice, which is on top of the yantra, and we say, Thang sting stiro baba pat. Now I put some water into the pot. Om Gangicha Jamana Cheva Godabari Sarasvati Narmade Sindhu Kaveri Jalismin Sanidikaru. Take some leaves of tulsi and put them in the water. Om Aing Ring Kling Sring Brindavan Basinya Swaha. And some flowers into the water pot. Etigandha Pushpe Om Aung Arkamandalaya Dwada Shakalatmane Dama. Etigandha Pushpe Om Aung Soma Mandalaya Shora Shakalatmane Dama. Etigandha Pushpe Om Aung Bani Mandalaya Daskalatmane Dama. Now, we're going to use the Matsya Mudra and the Dhena Mudra and the Ankush Mudras while chanting this mantra. So the Matsya Mudra, remember the mudra of the fish. The question was raised as to why we perform mudras. And there's something that happens in our psychology, in our physiology. When our hands make a specific gesture, our lips speak a specific mantra, and our minds contemplate the meaning of the gesture and the mantra together, suddenly it becomes instinctive. We get to feel it intuitively. So remember, Vishnu's first incarnation was the fish. And so we're going to start with the fish. And we make the mudra of the Matsya Mudra, the mudra of the fish. And feel yourself to be infinite consciousness floating in the ocean of world, the ocean of purity. You're just totally conscious, unbound, swimming in the ocean of the entirety of existence.
Fish never get dirty.
That's true, Mom. The fish never get dirty. Now, we've done the Matsya Mudra, the Dhenu Mudra. Take your inside fingers and put them over the outside, and then lock them together and make a little brick and try and square it off. And that's called the Dhenu Mudra. We just told the story about the Kama Dhenu, the cow. This is also called the Amritikaran Mudra, the cause of the dripping of nectar, the nectar of the bliss of immortality. And you can feel the nectar pouring down from both palms as you show this mudra over your water pot. Just feel the nectar pouring down. Do you know after a while you can just put your fingers together and feel the nectar pouring down without even saying the mantra? Well, I'll give you another example. We perform the Matrika Nyas. Remember, Om Angdamo, Om Angdamo, Mingdamo, Mingdamo, Mungdamo, Mungdamo, Ringdamo, 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 and after a while of touching yourself and saying the mantra and feeling where the mantra goes and which goddess resides in which place of the body. After a while, you just say the mantra, you can feel her there. And that's why we use mudras, because the tactile sensation stimulates our attention in a certain area. And after a while, we just say the mantra, our attention goes right there. The mudra, it has a meaning, it is a symbol. But more important, it just draws us right into the feeling immediately. So the mudras are very important tools to bring us into the bhava of whatever the vidhi is purporting to convey. Whatever the vidhi. You know, mantra pujas are comprised of several vidhis. If we were to make an outline, we would call siddhant. And then in the siddhant, we've talked about there are seven parts of the siddhant. Puja, part, homa, sangeet, rit. Each one of these is a full and complete system unto itself. Within the, if we were going to make an outline, we would say Roman numeral one was puja. Then the capital A would be krom, an organization, an order. And the cardinal one would be vidhi. And a vidhi is comprised of, like the Navarna vidhi, it's got certain mantras, it's got certain mudras, it's got a certain japa, it's got a certain objective. For example, here is the vidhi of Samanya Arga. We're establishing the water of the ordinary offering. So we're going to be able to purify everything that we offer. Now, in order to, this vidhi requires that we draw yantra, we offer rice upon the yantra, we put a water pot on top of the rice, we put water in the water pot, we offer tulsi leaves into the water pot, flowers into the water pot, and then we show these various mudras. This is a vidhi, an organization of worship, and it's a subset of the puja. The puja is comprised of a number of vidhis which are joined together. So if you're going to outline how you put together a puja, see, all of our pujas we made so they're modular. You can just stick them together. Each vidhi comes together. You put it together, and then you have a krum, an organization. You put all the krum together, and that organization makes a puja. And once you understand the theory of put together a puja, then you design your pujas yourself according to time, place, and circumstance. And that's the objective. You don't want to just memorize one puja. You want the freedom to move into any temple in front of any deity or in any occasion and know what's the appropriate mantra and how to design a puja. You'll look at your audience. You'll look at who the purpose of the puja, who's going to participate in the puja, what is your purpose. If I'm going to do a wedding next weekend, if I sit down and do a three-hour cosmic puja, I'm going to lose both the bride and the groom before I even get to say I do. So we'll have to design the puja for them because it's their puja. Mudras are going to bring us into the feeling what the mantras are telling us. So we're using the Matsya Mudra, the Dhenu Mudra, something like may the force be with you. I don't know which force it was.
Which finger goes in front and which thumb in front?
Put it in the left goes on top and the right is in the middle and the thumbs go top. Yeah, right. And that's the Dhenu Mudra, also known as the Amritikaran Mudra. And then we're going to use the Ankush Mudra, which is you use the Tattva Mudra and you bend one down and these over. It's the curved sword or the goad that Ganesh has in his hand, also the curved sword that Kali holds in her hands. They're both called Ankush. So this is that which cuts away all that is negative, all the negativity. So the three mudras we're showing, I think we're here. Here we are. So we're going to wave our hands, the Matsya Mudra, the Dhenu Mudra, Ankush Mudra, and we're going to say, Om Gangecha Jamana Cheva. Dabari Saraswati, Narmade Sindhu Kaveri, Chalis Vin Sanidikarum. And then we'll make japa. Om Ring String Kring Parameshwari Kalike. Swaha. And now we're going to take that water and sprinkle it over everything that we want to purify. Ourselves, all the offerings, everything that we want to purify. Amritam Kuru Swaha. Make this immortal nectar. Make this immortal nectar. And then we'll purify the flowers, and we'll use the Prarthana Mudra. Good, I have the Prarthana Mudra, the Mudra Prayer, and the Dhenu Mudra again. Okay, welcome home. The Prarthana Mudra, the Mudra Prayer, and the Dhenu Mudra. And we'll put these mudras over the flowers, and we'll say, Om Pushpa Pushpa Mahapushpa Supushpa Supushpa Sambabe Pushpa Chaya Bakirnecha. And take one flower and wash your hands with it. Om Aing Rong Astraya Pat.
Is the flower dripping water, please?
Could be, or it need not be. Just wipe it over your hands so that you know that your hands are pure. Karshuddhi, purified everything to the greatest extent of our capacity, because that demonstrates our respect. Do we have any questions?
Tell me, what do you do with that flower?
I put it on the altar.
If you're doing modules and doing one puja after another,
mm-hmm.
and the water pot is already down,
yes.
from the first one,
mm-hmm.
how do you handle that?
You need not establish it again. You don't have to establish a samanyarga for every deity. That's the ordinary water purifying the pot. I use the copper in the shape of the fish. I use the one on the right. And that's samanyarga. And I use that to purify all the offerings for all the deities. So I don't have to reestablish the ordinary water. The water for offering the ordinary offerings, I don't have to reestablish that every time.
And I noticed using conch, is that the same thing?
No, that's a visheshwarga. That's the special offering. But yes, you don't have to establish one for each deity if you're doing several pujas together. You can if you want to. For example, we're going to do an installation of four or five deities at a Hindu temple, I think in a week or two. And when we do that, I'm going to have to make a pot for each of the deities. The pot in the center with the smiling coconut.
Oh, you have to tell them.
I don't know who all's pooja is going to be done, but talk about it later. So when there are certain things that we will do for every deity, the samanyarga, the ordinary water for washing your hands and purifying all the objects to be offered, need only be established once. But the pot in the center, which is going to be particular to that deity, needs to be established for every deity that we're going to establish. Please, sure.
It's interesting to me that this water gets blessed here. We've already used water earlier in the puja.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that was just...
That was just as it is. We'll get around to blessing it. We'll bless it all. You see, and here we've blessed the flowers, but we already offered flowers. Yeah. We purified the flowers here. But the flowers are offering to the deities just to say, gosh, you're welcome, please come in the door. Even before I get you, I don't want you standing out in the cold while I bless all the flowers and purify all the water so I can wash your feet. Let me first invite you in, sit you down, make you comfortable, make sure that you're happy, and then I can go about and purify everything the best I can. So this is the crumb. The organization, how the puja proceeds. Remember, we're inviting the most respected, honored guest that we could possibly conceive of to come and bless our house, bless our temple. There's a knock on the door. We open the door and say, oh, it's the mother of the universe.
Our calling bell.
Mother, those days there were not calling bells. There was a knock on the door. Now I'm telling the story, please. It wasn't about the calling bell. There was a knock on the door. We opened the door. We said, Mother is here. Come in. Sit down. Be comfortable. Here's some flowers. Let me get it organized. I mean, you don't want her standing out in the cold.
No.
No. So then that's how the puja proceeds. From that premise. She comes in. She sits down. She said, you've been calling me. Why? What do you want? And we say, Mother, we just want to look in your eyes and tell you how much we love you and how privileged we are to be able to serve you in any capacity that we can. So here's some flowers, and we're going to purify these flowers, and we're going to wash our hands, and we're going to offer you a bath and new clothes and sweets and fruits and flowers and decorate you and just look in your eyes and sing to you and tell you how much privileged we are that you're here with us today. Yeah. So we'll start tomorrow with Kali's Gayatri. Do we have any more questions about what we've accomplished tonight? Yes, sir.
Can I take this a little further?
Go ahead.
So in some of the mudras, it seems like we're sort of exerting a power over the deity by doing, you know, it says, for instance, I bind you here.
Well,
does it really have an effect on a deity?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every deity is bound by devotion. Every deity is bound by devotion. I mean, all of us, wherever we get the most love, that's where we have to go. I mean, look at you. You sold your house, you sold your practice, you sold your kids.
She got more for that.
You move to California. Wherever there's love, you bound the deity. If it happens to you, just think what would happen to her. You could melt stone.
But so then it's not just a psychological thing that was saying, I bind you here.
No, it's an actual something.
It's having an actual effect
on the deity. Absolutely. Absolutely we have an effect on the deity. There's no deity who can resist pure devotion. And when you bind her with your love, now you can't bind her with force, but with the power of your love, with the sincerity of your dedication, you can bind her.
What about the mudra? One of the mudras in the Shiva Puja, we say, I know you have many devotees, but pay attention to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
But certainly the deity could divide his consciousness.
Mm-hmm. That's right, but just make sure that I'm included. Yeah, just make sure. I mean, if you want to negotiate, that's fine. But just make sure you have a place for me there. I don't mind who else you pay attention to. Just make sure that you include me in some of the privileged few. Because just think how many people would be calling for her attention at every moment of every day. And the fact that she would stop it all and come and sit here and listen to us babble and gossip.
It is, I know. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that in itself is amazing. That's amazing. And night after night after night.
Mudras must really work.
Damn, I hope so. Well, obviously, they do something. They have an effect on our physiology. They have an effect on our psychology. They have an effect on our spirituality. And they bind the deity. They bind the deity, actually, physically bind the deity. Wherever the most love is, that's where we're nourished. That's where we've got to go. She's no different. She's here because of the pure devotion of the devotees. Otherwise, I'll bet she could be in many other places.
You said she has many things to do.
I know. But she also heard that we weren't going to go on without her. So then she came back. So perhaps we bound her with the sincerity of our longing, just to have a little satsang with Ma. Even for an hour in the evening. The rest of the day she sits with her back to us. At least she can give us 1 hour. Thanks.
Thank you.
Om Sang Sarasvati Namaha.